For today's episode of Press Roots, we had baseball guy Ryan Foulkes on the show. If you're an Arkansas baseball fan, you know who Ryan Foulkes is. He's a great tweeter out there. Not exactly a journalist, but we thought we would see the social media aspect of journalism, and that's what Ryan specializes in. He's great at it, really good at his job. I think he's got great takes. It's a really fun interview, a lot of baseball talk. I hope you enjoy it. If you want to look us up on Twitter, we're at Press Roots Pod. Go interact with us there. We'd love to chat with you guys. And please enjoy this episode with Ryan Foulkes. We now welcome on Ryan Foulkes. He's a baseball guy. Don't know exactly what your title is, Ryan, but how are you doing? And what would you say your title is?
Hey, I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys for having me on to talk with you guys. I guess you got baseball guy from my Twitter profile, and really that's about the only thing I can claim to be, really. I'm a guy that goes to a lot of baseball games and enjoys them. And is able to, I feel like, can find the pleasure in every single one, win, lose, or whatever we see happen. So, you know, just a guy that loves the game, and specifically the games that usually happen over there at Baum Stadium.
So you're a big baseball guy. How did Twitter get into that mix? Because, you know, you were one of the first people from Arkansas that I followed, and your baseball tweets are just incredible.
Yeah, so it actually goes back to 2016. If you guys have been baseball fans for a few years, Arkansas fans for a few years, 2016 was a rough year for the baseball program. It was kind of the uncharacteristically weird, it was bad year. After a College World Series run in 2015, to then have this huge drop off in 2016, in the midst of all this going on, I would say some of our other big sports weren't doing so hot either. It was really easy for Arkansas fans to be cynical towards sports whenever when the success wasn't there. And it was tough to be a baseball fan in 2016. We started out red hot and then things fell off. And I didn't really like that much. I knew the guys that were out there. I knew they worked hard. And then, you know, come 2017, I think that, I thought we had a really good team coming into the season. I thought we were going to be really good. I thought it was going to be a good bounce back year, and it ended up being that. But going into that, I think a lot of I'll give credit. There's some diehard baseball fans in Fayetteville that we could have gone 0-60 and they'd still be going to every single game. The fans here are some incredible people, and they love the Hogs, and they support them through thick and thin. But there was some people that I think that had backed off a little bit, and I really just wanted to recognize what the guys on the field were doing. So in 2017, I started, posting some stats. You know, if guys were doing well, I wanted to share some stuff. I tagged them in some stuff. I even, I think I jumped on Microsoft Paint a little bit and made some like cheapo graphics to share some pics and like try to do some like ESPN style graphics or whatever. And turns out people really like when you say nice things about them. So, a few guys, actually, it was the first, I'll never forget this, Jackson Williams, whenever he was here, he ended up transferring out. He's at Texas State now, and I love that kid. But when he was here, he retweeted one of the first things that I posted. And of course, he's friends with some guys on the team, so some of the other guys saw it. And you know, when a few of these guys with a couple thousand followers are starting to retweet some of the stuff that you say, it snowballs pretty quick. And I think from that point, some of these guys started following me a little bit. The players did first, and they liked when I said nice things about them, when I recognized them for the good things that they did. And because a guy like Blaine Knight has a couple thousand followers, whenever he retweets something that some at the time, you know, I had maybe a couple hundred, a lot of people start noticing that. And then, you know, I just kind of stayed with it. I kind of found that niche, and it's you could say that I marketed myself in that way, but I just talked about the thing that I cared about. And I think other people saw that and they cared about it too. And then, you know, here we are a few years later and I don't know what I'm sitting on now. It's like 7,500 or something like that. And it's just, I rarely ever talk about myself. It's just all, you know, what are these guys doing on the field? And they love when I talk about it and share what they're doing. And I think the fans do too. And that's just kind of how we got to where we are now.
Now, starting off, you didn't expect it to take off that way, did you?
No, I mean, I just wanted to say nice things about other guys. I thought that they deserved recognition. You know, if anything, I just wanted people to start going to baseball games and cheering for them. That's really all it was. And then, you know,
you're the reason that Baum is filled up every single weekend.
Oh, no. Those, I would say back-to-back College World Series teams and the best head coach in the country is probably the reason it's filled up every weekend. But, you know, I did get the chance to meet a lot of new people. So I do get to, of the people that do fill it up now, I've made a lot of friends, new friends, just through posting a few tweets from time to time.
How did you decide on going to the University of Arkansas? Because I know you're from Texas, and you know you've been there ever since. So how did you decide you were going to stay in the area too?
Oh, that's a funny story too. Whenever I was a senior in high school, I was first of all, I come from a family of University of Texas Longhorns. Everybody in my family is Longhorns. So the fact that I ended up at Arkansas, some people will consider that a miracle in itself. But I didn't really like the city of Austin, Texas that much, which is where, you know, UT is, and I was convinced that I was going to go to TCU. I was going to be a Horned Frog. You know, I was convinced. I was already decided. My dad knew that school cost about $40,000 a semester, so he knew I wasn't going there. You know, it's private school, but I didn't. I was convinced I'm going to TCU. I'd already been accepted. That's where I was going to be for my freshman year. And a buddy of mine came over. His name's Ross Larwood. He came over to the house and, you know, my dad, we were just talking on the couch and my dad's like, "Where are you going to school, Ross?" And Ross said, "Well, I got accepted to the University of Arkansas." And my dad goes, "Why don't you go apply there, Ryan?" And I'm thinking, all right, if it'll get you off my back, you know, I'll go apply to the U of A. And I, you know, logged on. I started filling out the application on the website. You know, if you got Google Chrome, sometimes whenever you start filling out a form, it'll just automatically fill in the whole sheet for you. And that's pretty much what happened is I went to the website, typed in my first and last name. Google Chrome basically did the application for me. I submitted it. 2 weeks later, I got accepted. 3 weeks after that, they told me I got in-state tuition. So at that point, I knew I was going to the University of Arkansas, pretty much because it was one of two places that I got accepted to, and it was the only one we could afford. But upon arriving here, I can't imagine that I would have gone anywhere else. This is, you know, I came here, I've graduated in 4 years. I went back to Texas for a few months thinking that I'll go get a job in the city of Dallas. And, 3 months after that, after I went back, I found the first excuse I could to come back up here. And I've been living here ever since.
What did you major in? And also, what are you doing now? And what is your profession?
I finished with a degree in communications. I had a couple of changes along the way, but I finished with a communications degree. And right now, I actually work full-time at a cap company. It's called Outdoor Cap up in Bentonville. And so that's my, you know, 9 to 5, you know, if you want to put it that way. But, you know, it's the thing that allows me to do the other thing that I love, which is go to the baseball games.
Where did that passion for baseball start? Were you always into college ball or were you a big MLB fan growing up?
We were growing up in Texas, we were big Texas Rangers fans. I was fortunate enough to get to go to the World Series games in 2010 and 2011. Obviously, the Rangers didn't win either of those, but it's still fun to get to go to watch a World Series game at the ballpark in Arlington. But yeah, I was always a big MLB fan growing up. We were not really big college baseball fans, which is odd because I think during that time, University of Texas, which again, my parents went there, you'd think that they would have, you know, made a bigger deal, bigger fuss at, because I think they were pretty good then. But I never really got into college baseball. But I did play. I played in high school. And as a senior, junior in high school, I can't remember what year it was, I ended up quitting baseball in favor of playing football. I didn't have a career future in either of them. I just played the one that I thought I was better at the time. And I think what that did for me was I didn't ever burn out on baseball. I kind of just, I always had that taste. I wanted more because I quit before I wanted to, which was due to a coach that I didn't like. I wish I would have, you know, talked myself into sticking with it. But I just never like that, I guess that thirst was unquenched, I guess. And then I got to Arkansas, and it doesn't, you don't have to be here for more than 5 minutes before you realize we got one of the best baseball teams in the country. And we have had one that it's been that way for a long time. So naturally, since there's no pro team around here for me to jump on board with, it was very easy to, you could say, jump on the bandwagon. I don't like to say that because I did go to school here. So I, you know, I have the right to cheer for them, but it was easy to want to get to the ballpark and watch them as much as possible just because they're so good. You know, it was always a fun team to watch. And so, yeah, I mean, today though, you could say it's grown a little bit from being just a observing fan. I have gotten to know some of the players a little bit. I've gotten to know some of their families a little bit. You know, you're not just watching a scoreboard at that point. You start to care about the individuals a little bit more. And I think that that's just I've been very fortunate to be, you know, part of some of these guys' lives that, you know, that it being, I guess, knowing them off the field kind of gives you a different appreciation for what they do on the field. I think that's a big part of it as well.
So would you consider yourself a journalist? And is that like a goal of yours, is to have those relationships with the players? And when did you have that click in your mind where you're like, I could be having relationships with them? And I know this is a long question, but I think basically what I'm asking is, what made you decide to do that? And do you consider that you being a journalist, or are you just covering something you love, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't consider myself a journalist. I think that there are really, really good journalists around here. I have gotten to meet a lot of them, and I think that they're, you know, that they're very good at their job. I just think that I'm a numbers guy. I'm not really a words guy. You know, I'm not really a story writer or a story producer, whatever a journalist wants to say that they would do. I see a trend with numbers, and I want to share that. So I wouldn't call myself a journalist. And I definitely wouldn't want to do that because I wouldn't want to diminish some of the other journalists around here just by saying, oh, it's just some guy that posts some tweets can call himself a journalist. I don't think that I would say that. But you know, I didn't really intend whenever I started posting stuff to become friends with any of the players. I just wanted people to appreciate what they were doing. In fact, a lot of the guys that I would say that I either talk to pretty regularly now, I wasn't close to them when they were players. You know, there was never an incentive to do that either. It was just, you know, whenever they graduated or whenever they got drafted or whatever, I started talking to them more as they began their minor league journeys. And that's kind of where I started connecting with some of those guys. But yeah, I didn't really expect anything like that, especially since, you know, some of those guys, when I was talking about them in 2017, they didn't get drafted or graduate for a year or two after that. And that's really when I got to know some of these guys. So, I mean, yeah, it wasn't ever like the intent to just to get close to the guys, you know, that was never the intent, at all, but it's been a fortunate side effect of, you know, but I think that's what happens when you're around. That's the biggest thing, is that it's not just that I'm talking about what they're doing. It's that, you know, I was there after the games to tell them good job, or I was there at the practices in the fall and stuff like that. I know that we've seen each other, run into each other at the fall ball practices. So, I mean, it's just, they see you, you know, they see you there, and they know you care. And I think that's kind of what contributed more than just bragging about what they're doing, you know.
What's your favorite part about following a program like Arkansas baseball so closely?
Well, they're winners, so they're fun, you know. So they're, I think it's more importantly than that is the kind of guys that Dave Van Horn and Nate Thompson and Matt Hobbs, the kind of guys that they're recruiting they're good people, you know. They're they're just likable human beings. You know, they do the right things. They do the smart things. You can tell that they work hard, you know, in the classroom, on the field and all this. I mean, they're good, genuine people, you know, and they're the kind of guys that, you know, you enjoy watching what they're doing on the field, but you know, you can talk about gaming or whatever, TV or movie or whatever, you know, I don't remember exactly what you just asked, but if the reason it's fun is when you get to know these guys, it's just, you know, they're kids, man, they're people, you know, and they're not just a number. They're not just they're not just winners or losers on the weekend. They got lives and they're, I don't know. They're fun. They're fun to know and they're fun to appreciate.
So previously on our podcast, we've had Phil Elson on. Of course, Phil brings a different kind of dynamic to the program just with his voice. How important do you think it is for a baseball program like Arkansas to have someone like Phil to cover them? I feel like the voice behind a team is very important. What is your opinion on that?
Phil, we are so lucky to have Phil Elson. Some of his calls, especially like the super regional clinching calls. I mean, just the kind of stuff that gives you goosebumps and people know who Phil Elson is. I think that a lot of people know who he is because he has the pleasure of calling a team that's really successful and is really good. But he does. I mean, he adds so much to what Arkansas baseball is. I mean, you turn on your radio and you hear the voice. I mean, I think one of the things he always says is, at the end of every broadcast, he says, and reminder, folks, it is just a game, which is something I think Arkansas fans really need to hear sometimes, you know, because we you know how we are. We love going all in, and sometimes we think it's a little more than that. But, I mean, he's a great guy. I've gotten to chat with him a little bit over the years. You know, he's usually working on game days. You know, he's up there in the booth. But him and Bubba Carpenter have been a great duo for Razorback baseball on the airwaves. And I mean, I really think that we are so lucky to have a guy like Phil Elson calling our games on the radio.
Sticking on the topic of those that cover this team, what kind of relationships do you have with those members of the media, like Phil and guys like Andrew Hutchinson, Bob Holt, guys like that?
You know, a lot of those guys, they're also working on game day too. So, you know, where I would cross paths with them, they're usually locked in. I mean, to be fair, so am I, just in a different way. But where I get to see those guys a lot, especially like Hutchison, we ran into each other a lot this past summer because we were going into the Perfect Timing Collegiate League, and we had some Arkansas guys playing in that league. Guys that if the pandemic hadn't have happened, they probably would have gone all over the country, but they stayed here, and we got to cross paths with some of those guys and just get to meet them a little bit. I mean, I'm not inviting those guys over for dinner, and they're not having me over, but you know, it's fun seeing those guys and. I definitely appreciate what they do. I think a lot of people appreciate what they do, and I've had the chance to hear from some of them and say that they've been appreciative of kind of what I bring to the table. It's not necessarily as I would say dynamic or big as some of these guys with websites and articles and everything like that. But I've had the chance to run into some of these other guys, and they've shared some of the tweets that I've posted with stats. And my friends over at Pig Trail Nation, they had me on the show one time right before the team went to Omaha in 2018, I think. So I've gotten to get to know some of them. Really, I love that Pig Trail Nation team. And it's what's fun though is whenever we get to the ballpark and it's just more people that I know love the Hogs and that love the sport that I get to run into, if anything. So it's just it's kind of created a family atmosphere at the ballpark.
You talked about how one of the main reasons that you started covering Arkansas on Twitter is because of the way that the fans were reacting and you wanted them to appreciate it more. And now I feel like Razorback fans do appreciate it, but at the same time, there's that other side of the spectrum where, like last year when you had Casey Martin, he was struggling so bad. They were like, oh, this dude's terrible. We don't need him in the lineup. And that, to me, I was like, this dude is really talented. He's just in a slump. Mm-hmm. But it's that's the thing about Razorback fans is that when things are going bad, we just talk about how it's going, or they just talk about how it's going bad and bad and bad. And how do you think that you have contributed to the side where they are more hardcore fans mm-hmm. for baseball. And do you think that maybe you contributed to that because you came on Twitter and you were like, hey, let's appreciate this?
Yeah, I don't know if I really built something, or I guess you could say I contributed to it a little bit. I mean, I do know a lot of the guys that are the everyday people, you know, because there's those Wednesdays in February when there's only 1,000 people at the ballpark, which is still pretty big, you know, for compared to some other schools. And you know, everybody knows everybody that's there because it's kind of a smaller, you know, 1,000 people, smaller crowd, at least by Bomb Stadium standards. No, but really, like I'll talk about like Casey, for example, Casey Martin. He was this past very shortened season. He did get off to a little bit slower start, but one of the things that I see, you know, well, what happened in 2019? In 2019, he got off to a little slower start as well, and then I think it was that weekend at Vanderbilt. We lost the series, but there was something that happened that weekend that he couldn't miss, and then for the rest of the year, I mean, his second half was like night and day compared to his first half. So we knew he was going to turn it on at some point. And, you know, you kind of hope that it would have happened a little bit sooner than that, but he never got the chance. You know, and a lot of people, with Casey specifically, he's an Arkansas kid, Lone Oak, Arkansas kid, and he was highly touted by, I mean, obviously the team kind of marketed him as the big time guy. Like D1 baseball and Baseball America, they're all saying he's preseason All-American material and stuff. So the expectations people have for him were already off the charts. And so, I mean, really, if you breathe wrong, you know, you're already at a disadvantage. And he was, you know, he just got off to a slow start that we all knew was going to get fixed, and he was going to pop off this year. We knew it was going to happen. He just never got the chance to do it this year, you know, and it's because he did it in 2019. And that's the kind of stuff that I would be saying on Twitter is, hey, before we lose our minds about this guy and his relatively slow start, let's remember what he did let's remember who he was in 2018 when he basically put the team on. We wouldn't have beat Florida in that elimination game in Omaha. I think Casey Martin had 4 hits in that game, you know, or something. I mean, he carried. I mean, Isaiah pitched a heck of a game that day as well, but I mean, from at the plate, Casey carried our team. So we knew he was going to do it. We knew he was going to be the guy. It may have come a little later. And unfortunately in 2020, later never came because the season was cut short. But that's the kind of stuff that I feel like I contribute, is there are the voices that get real loud and get real bitter about things that I think, when you look at the big picture, are pointless. And it's kind of what I always like to do is say, hey, let's take a step back. Let's remember who this guy is. We know he's good, and let's look at this side of it. And that's kind of where the stats come from. Is it's one thing to say that, you know, and then everybody go, well, prove it. Well, here's the numbers. Here's how I'm going to prove it. Is look what he's done, you know, and look what he can do. So, and that's really where the stats come from. Is I know these guys are good, and I just want to make sure everybody else knows it too.
All right, Ryan, we're going to go into this little segment where we're going to say a name, and we want you to tell us the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay, this is tough. All right.
So first one should be an easy one for you, or at least it is for me. The name is Carson Chatty.
Razorback legend. Do I get to explain myself there?
Yeah.
Okay. He walked on. Then redshirted as a freshman, stuck around. I don't think he got a scholarship for a couple of years after, but he stuck around. He was determined. He was determined to be a Razorback. He put the team on his back his sophomore year, had a little bit rocky of a junior year, and then carried the freight again his senior year. He stuck with us for all 4 years. He went to Omaha twice, and he was kind of the, I don't know what you want to say, the leader that, you know, the younger guys needed in that second time that he went to Omaha. And not only that, but the dude has just, he bleeds Razorback red. He has his whole life, and he proved it. And the one thing that he brought that I think a lot of baseball players, especially when they're younger, they're a little bit tentative as far as showing emotion on the diamond. You know, it's kind of like there's this, there's this stigma that this is this, you got to keep it in. And some guys just play that way because that's how they play. But that's the one thing I loved about Carson was that whenever he did something good and big, he made sure everybody in the stadium knew it. And I love that about him. And he'll, yeah. And when you look at his, and this is with him, a numbers guy. So when you look at his numbers, I mean, I think he had like a career 360 something batting average at Arkansas. I mean, that's insane for a college player. And,
yeah.
And then of course he did get the chance to, he got drafted, you know, his senior year, which is awesome that he got that opportunity to play for at least a little bit in pro ball.
Yeah, me having Arkansan roots and being from Washington, when he got picked by the Nationals, that was one of the coolest feelings ever. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Yep. Next name is Eduardo Perez.
Eduardo, well, all I think is pitcher, because every time there's ever a, well, not pitcher, sorry. Yeah, pitcher. He always talks about how hard it is to hit certain pitch. That's like what I always remembered him talking about. Anytime we have the SEC tournament games, which is funny because I don't think he was a pitcher. I think he's a batter, and I think he had one bad eye, and that's what ended his career. But he always talked. He's always so knowledgeable of what a pitcher is trying to do in any kind of situation. You know, it's what should, or really, I guess it's from the perspective of here's what the batter should be looking for here. And it's amazing how often he's right, you know, with some of that stuff. Of course, I guess that's what playing the game for so long will get you.
Right.
All right, next name, a guy who's kind of a hot topic nowadays, Alex Bregman.
Ugh. The only thing I can ever think, I know he's with Houston now, but he's always just a Tiger. That's it. I mean, and I'm sure he would love to hear that Tiger is the first thing that comes to his mind. But, I mean, the dude really was. He put his name in LSU history, and now he's big time. And, you know, I think, did he get drafted ahead of Benintendi that year? I can't remember if he did or not, but
I think he was the second overall pick in 2015.
Him and Swanson, I remember those two guys to me were just the guys that got picked ahead of Benny. And
that was the same year that Benny was SEC player of the year, right?
Yeah, and Golden Spikes Award winner and all that stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, that's when I think Bregman, man, I just think like Tyga. You know, he's an LSU Tyga. He'll always be that to me. He could play for the Astros for 100 years, he won't. But you know, I mean, but that's he'll never not be, and that's how all these LSU guys are to me.
Yeah, I got you. All right, next name, Kendall Rogers.
He's the news guy, you know. He knows things about news. I don't know. That's why I think of because he's the guy that I feel like knows the things about the programs before the programs even know the things about the programs. You know, I mean, he's like, I feel like he could say like breaking news, Arkansas does something, and even Dave Van Horn be going, oh, really? You know, I mean, he's connected, man. He knows the stuff. And and truth be told, D1 baseball, which obviously he runs, him and his squad run it, they have, in my opinion, the best poll baseball season has to offer. A lot of people do a lot of polls, but I really love the D1 baseball poll because they have the RPI rating with like, it tells you how they did against other RPI teams. They take a lot of the, a lot of the like bias out of their rankings. You know, they allow the teams and the players and the game to kind of figure itself out from a rankings standpoint. Not that rankings really matter at the end of the day, but you know, they've got the best one in my opinion.
Next one, this is someone that I think some people say might be a one-hit wonder, but I want to see how you feel about him. Chad Spanberger.
Moose. That's what he is. He's Moose. That was his nickname when he was around here. And he's one of the guys that I got the fortune of getting to know more after he got drafted. You know, he got drafted by the Rockies, went out to Grand Junction, and you know, I just kind of messaged him one day, and I was like, "Hey, man, how's minor league ball?" And I think at the time he like didn't know a whole lot of guys out there. He hadn't really got connected. They're And I got to learn a lot about the kind of the grueling nature of what minor league baseball is, just from some of the stories that he told about travel and about food and about just, man, he talked about how great it was at Arkansas compared to what they were getting in even in a pro ball at that level. But I mean, I wouldn't say he's a one hit wonder at all. I mean, he had his big year at Arkansas, but you know, when he was in A ball, he absolutely tore up. And now he's had the, I don't know if you'd call it, like misfortune or whatever, but he's been traded twice now, which I also got the chance to talk to him about. So I got to kind of see what a player thinks when they get traded. I never really thought that, you know, these guys are building relationships with their other teammates and then they're just gone, you know, they're somewhere else now. So I got to kind of get a little bit of that insight from him, but, you know, he's with the Brewers now, at least last I checked. And, you know, they went out and I guess you could say they bought a first baseman this year. And, you know, I think that if there was minor league ball happening right now, he would quickly show them that he's their next guy, you know, at that spot.
Gotcha. All right. We got one more name for you, and then we're going to do a very, very quick rapid fire round.
All right.
Last guy is Tyler Spoon.
Man. Spoon. That's anytime, man. Anytime it's Spoon with 100 O's. And he, man, he was so much fun to watch. I mean, I think it was, you know, they brought out the giant spoon for him in Oklahoma State. And they, I remember, I think it was Kent. They made him leave the stadium because they said the spoon was a weapon. And I was like, you dang right, Spoon's a weapon. You know, I mean, he was great. He was so much fun to watch. And I think he still lives around Northwest Arkansas as well. So he's a local kid, put up good numbers when he was at Arkansas, and from what I've heard, he was a great guy to have in the clubhouse. He cared a lot about his teammates and just a very important guy for a lot of other guys on his team.
What is your least favorite opposing baseball program, college baseball?
Specifically college.
Don't hold back.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you three answers, but I'll tell you the one it is right now at the end here. It was LSU, because I was, as soon as I got here, everybody said, we hate LSU. And I said, great. All right. We hate LSU. And then I met a whole bunch of Aggies and I said, you know what? I think A&M is probably the worst, but I think that they're the worst in general, not necessarily specifically the college baseball program. Although their fans, you know, I credit where credit is due. Their like student section, they know how to be a nuisance. So shout out to I guess it's whatever their Olson section, whatever 13, whatever they are. You know, they know how to be a nuisance. But now I think that the most annoying or most hated is probably Ole Miss.
I figured that's who it would be.
Yeah, and but you know what? It seems like, man, they always find a way to get us in the regular season or in the SEC tournament. But when the game is really on the line, when it really matters, they can't beat us, you know, and I'd rather it be that way. But yeah, they're the fan base that believes that they're the best in the SEC, and they're the fan base that hasn't had a team go to Omaha and, well, at least not at TD Ameritrade. I think they went once before that or something like that. So they're just, I mean, but hey, you know what? Again, kudos to the fans for loving their team as much as the Razorbacks love ours, you know, so.
You bet, you bet. All right, last question here. You can only watch one sport for the rest of your life, and it can't be baseball, football, or basketball. What are you watching?
Hockey. I'm a big hockey guy. I was watching the from the COVID stuff, I guess the NHL exhibition stuff has started up this week, so I was watching the Dallas Stars a little bit earlier today. In fact, of all the sports teams, you know, I was a big Rangers fan. I still like watching them. I was never really a Mavs fan. I was never really a Cowboys fan. And from, I guess you could say, from my hometown, the Dallas Stars are like the only one that I've hung on to. So yeah, I would, man, if I, if, if, Well, we do have a hockey team here. It's the club team. But if we were like a, you know, Division I hockey team, I would be at every one of those games, as long as they didn't conflict with the baseball schedule.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that answer. I'm from DC, so, you know, it's huge up here. Hopefully, you know, I think the Stars have a shot in this restart tournament. We'll see
where we'll stand
on the 10th when this episode comes out. But
yeah.
They look good. They look good.
Yeah. They've been fun to watch for a couple of years. But yeah, love the NHL. Just love the game of hockey. It's a fun game to watch.
All right, Ryan. Well, we had a great time talking with you today. You're very insightful. You know a lot about baseball, clearly, more than me. I don't know, probably more than Robert. But thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for having me. It's fun.
All right, you take care, Ryan.
Yep.
Thanks again to Ryan Folks for chatting with us today. We had a great interview with him. He even sat around and talked to us after the show. We just chatted for a little bit. He's a really, really great guy, actually. So thank you, Ryan. And if you want to get to know us more and you want to see some of our work, you can go to uatrav.com, type in Robert Stewart or Mason Choate, and you can see some of our articles we've written. If you want to listen to my podcast, it's the Red Rifle Rundown. You can find it wherever you're listening to the Press Roots podcast. First episode actually came out today, Monday, August 10th. So please go listen to that. That'd be awesome. If you want to check out some more of Robert's work, he's got a few articles up on the Maryland Sports blog, and you can DM us on Twitter. Both of our DMs are open. We'd love to chat with you guys. And thank you again for listening to the Press Roots podcast.